Right, so we've had a reading this morning already about the Great Commission from Matthew, that great passage that has become known as the Great Commission, to go out and to preach the gospel to all nations. And we're going to be thinking especially this morning about Peter and his role in that Great Commission as the baton was passed on to Peter. So with that in mind, I want to read again from the Bible and from John chapter 21. And this is just after there's been a massive catch of fish for the disciples after Jesus has risen. After they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter became sad because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And so he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep. I'm telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go anywhere you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you up and take you where you don't want to go." In saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now, when I was in my late teens, my brother and myself became a great fan of this book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. This is the gospel according to Douglas Adams. And my brother and I and all our friends, we would take great delight in quoting vast chunks of The Hitchhiker's Guide to our friends and having a laugh. And indeed, we still do it today, my brother and I. There are various things that happen, and we'll be texting ourselves, and we'll be texting back, and we'll have a laugh, and there'll be an LOL, you know, a lol, to say that, yeah, what a laugh. And it goes back. Now, I have to say, you either get it or you don't. Yvonne doesn't get it. And nor do Emily and Hannah. And even when I said, I was thinking about talking about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy this morning, Yvonne threatened not to come this morning. You know, so if you're not familiar with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, it's about a race of hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings, and I could be here all morning and beyond with this, who want to find the answer to the great question of life, the universe, and everything. And they invent this amazing supercomputer called Deep Thought. And it takes 7.5 million years to calculate the answer. And then eventually, amid great ceremony, the computer announces the answer to the great question of life, the universe, and everything. And the answer is 42. And then the book and several other books that come after it are devoted to saying that actually really it's not about the answer that's the problem, it's more about what is the question. If we knew what the question was, then we could understand what 42 meant. And so that's how it goes. If you're interested, come and see me afterwards and I'll tell you loads. I'm ashamed to say that probably in my late teens, as I was reading that, I could probably quote more chunks from that than I could from the Bible, but hey, that's another story. But people have grappled with questions like that down the years, haven't they? It was Bob Dylan who said, "How many roads must a man walk down until he becomes a man?" And the answer is blowing in the wind. That's about as useless as 42, really, isn't it? And then, of course, in this year, the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death, which, of course, is next Saturday, 23rd of April, how could we forget to be or not to be? That is the question. And then there are those other questions that are very important and often repeated, which perhaps we become very tired of, like looking at the children here. Have you tidied your bedroom this morning? It's an important question. Or where are my keys or my phone? What's for dinner? And the age-old one that comes from the back of the car when you're on a long journey. Are we there yet? Yes, I can hear you saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Tennis player Serena Williams admitted recently at a press conference that she gets tired of the same old questions after she's played a match that she has to answer at the various news conferences that there are. And of course, in recent years, there's been a trend on websites especially to have that section, Frequently Asked Questions, FAQs. In other words, questions that bore the company to tears, that they're fed up with asking. They're probably important, but everybody keeps asking the same old things, so they put them in one place so that hopefully you get your answers. Well, in our reading today, Peter is faced with a question that is asked three times, if you like, an FAQ from Jesus. Probably the most important question that Peter was ever asked, and I would argue possibly, probably, the most important question that we could be asked too. It could actually be the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. Whether you know it or not, every aspect of your life depends on your sincere answer to Jesus' question, do you love me? Let's put it into a bit of context, shall we? Easter has come and gone. Peter and the disciples are aware of Jesus' resurrection. Some, including Peter, have seen Jesus, but they haven't really grasped the significance of it all yet. And so they've gone back to fishing, and Peter is the one that suggests it. If I'd read a little bit further forward, or earlier on in that passage in John, it says in verse 3, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, yes, we'll go with you. And so they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. There's almost an air of resignation from Peter. He's been around Jesus for 3 years, trailing around Israel, hearing what he's had to say, seeing what he's been doing. He's been a great forthright supporter of Jesus, a number one Jesus fan. He's denied him 3 times. He's seen Jesus crucified, and he's seen that Jesus has come back to life. What now? Oh, well, I suppose I'll go back to fishing then. And we know the story. They don't catch anything, and then there's a man on the shore who says, well, put your nets out the other side, and they put the nets out the other side of the boat. They catch loads of fish. They realize that it's Jesus that's on the shore, and Peter jumps in, can't doubt his enthusiasm for Jesus, and he wades to the shore, and he greets Jesus. They all sit down on the shore, they bring the fish ashore, and they have a bit of breakfast with Jesus. And then after they've eaten, Jesus starts to prepare Peter and the disciples for the passing on of the baton. Not the passing on of the Mars bar, but the passing on of the baton of the kingdom of God. The Great Commission, the disciples, Peter and the disciples are going to take over Jesus' work. Take over where he has left off as he goes up to be with his Father in heaven. Jesus almost gives Peter an interview. He asks him 3 times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And 3 times Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Now, I'm sure that many of us here have been for an interview, for a job. And at interview you get asked many questions. And based on your answer to the questions, the interview panel, the bosses, will decide whether or not you've got the job. Reminds me of a mathematician, an accountant, and an economist who apply for the same job. The interviewer asks the same question of each person. First of all, to the mathematician. He says, what does 2 + 2 equal? And the mathematician says, 4. And the interviewer says, 4 exactly? And the mathematician says, looks incredulously at say, yes, absolutely, 4 exactly, all the time. Fair enough. And then in comes the accountant. And the interviewer asks exactly the same question. What does 2 + 2 equal? And the accountant says, on average, 4. Give or take 10% either side. But on average, 4. Fair enough. And then the interviewer calls in the economist and asks the same question. What does 2 plus 2 equal? And the economist stands up, locks the door, closes the curtains, sits down beside the interviewer and says, well, that depends what you want it to equal. Jesus asks the same questions 3 times, but not to 3 different people. He asks them to Peter, just one person. Jesus has a job for Peter. Peter isn't really applying for it because he has no idea what Jesus has in mind. And as we've said, he doesn't seem to have grasped what's going on. But he will in time. And as I've looked at this passage, I've found myself asking, well, what other questions could Jesus have asked Peter? For example, we baptized people here in this church, indeed, a couple of weeks back, Easter Sunday morning. We had 4 people going through that water there of baptism. And Martin asked each candidate a question. He said, do you profess repentance toward God and faith in Jesus as Saviour and Lord? That would be a good question to ask Peter, wouldn't it? Particularly after he's denied Jesus 3 times. And when we receive people into membership of this church, Martin and Lisa ask some more questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? I do. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? That's a good one, isn't it? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? That would have been a good one for Peter. And of course, the candidate would answer, I will. Do you commit yourself to love and serve the Lord within this fellowship, as also in the wider world? I do. And then there's a question for the church. Do you promise to love, encourage, pray, and care for whoever it is that's being received into membership? To which we answer, we do. Good questions, all good questions. But Jesus didn't ask Peter any of those questions. He didn't ask about his profession of faith. Peter had already made a profession of faith, a great profession of faith, back in Matthew 16 when Jesus was asking. Peter said, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's good. Good orthodox doctrine. He's a true believer. And there are some people who are doctrinally straight. They know everything. But their actions and their overall manner of life suggest that they don't actually love Jesus. Their head is straight, but their heart is cold. Good doctrine is no substitute for loving God. So Jesus didn't ask Peter about his profession of faith. He didn't ask Peter about his position. Now, Peter was an apostle, one of the privileged 12. He was part of the inner circle of 3. He was Jesus' chosen leader. Jesus had already said, you are the rock on which I shall build my church. Now, you can be a deacon, Sunday school teacher, a leader, a preacher, a minister, but not actually do it for the love of Jesus. Maybe more out of self-ambition or power. You can sing in the band or the choir, play an instrument, stand in the spotlight, but do it all for your own glory and attention rather than for the attention and glory of God and for the love of God. No, Jesus isn't concerned about our position. That's not the question. Jesus says, do you love me? So he hasn't asked Peter about his profession of faith or his position. And in this modern culture of appraisal and performance management, Jesus didn't ask Peter about his performance. Peter is the rock. He's walked on water. He's seen Jesus' glory when he was transfigured. He has a huge list of accomplishments. he's also got it wrong along the way and let Jesus down. But no, it's not about performance. All Jesus wants to know is, do you love me? First question that Jesus asks, or the first time he asks the question, he says, do you love me more than these? And it's generally understood that Jesus is asking Peter whether his love for him is greater than the disciples that are gathered there, or the fish and the nets and the boats, his job. In other words, Peter, do you love me more than people and material things? Am I number one? Peter says, yes, Lord. And Peter is sad when Jesus asks a third time. His final response says, you know all things. Peter's acknowledging, you know everything in the world. You know everything about me. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter's answers three times to the same question leads Jesus to put him in charge of his sheep. Be in charge of my lambs. Be in charge of my flock. Look after the church of God. Peter is going to become the key mover, the key shaker, as the baton is passed from Jesus to the disciples in the Great Commission, and has continued to be passed down the ages to us here this morning at CBC. Someone once asked the question, how much does Jesus love me? And the answer came back, this much. An old man lived in the country. His face was sun-wrinkled like a raisin. One day he had the chance to go to the city and visit an art gallery. As he walked through, looking at the beautiful pieces, he found himself gazing at a painting of Jesus dying on the cross. And as he stood there, he was overwhelmed by how much God loved him. And tears of love streamed down the cracks in his face as he pondered what Jesus had done for him. Out loud, he began to say, oh, how I love him. Oh, how I love him. Everyone around stood still, staring at him. Then one man came forward and took the old man by the hand. With tears of his own, he said, I love him too, brother. Another approached and grabbed his other hand. And so do I, he said. Then another and another and another came forward. They joined hands, and there they stood, unified in their love for Jesus Christ. We've just had Easter. We've celebrated God's love for us in Jesus. Jesus who loves us, you and me, that much. So we're going to respond in the next few moments. You may want to stand like the person that was looking at the picture in the art gallery. You might want to look at the picture that's up on the screen. You might prefer to be sitting with bowed head. You might want to be looking eyes wide open at the screen. But however you want to respond, Jesus asks the same question of you and of me. The same question that he asked Peter. It is the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. Jesus says to you, Jesus says to me, as he did to Peter, do you love me? Let's just have a moment in our own hearts to respond to that. Are we ready to say, yes, Lord, we love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Are we ready to take up the baton, just as Peter did, to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And out of all my love for you flow the things that I want to do for you. To take up the baton. To pass it on to others so that others might know of your great love for the world. Your great love for everybody in this world, Lord. Father God, help us to respond with honest and open hearts as you ask us, do you love me?